the best kinds of partnerships are the ones where they really understand that full funnel approach and they really understand the value that we're able to drive meeting that reader wherever they are. If they're not ready to make a purchase decision, that's still so valuable to get your name and your brand in front of.
Welcome to SaaS Connect, the SaaS Partnership Podcast, brought to you by the Cloud Software Association. Thank you, as always, to our podcast producers, Content Allies. They help B2B companies like you launch revenue-generating podcasts. They'll schedule interviews, produce the podcast, and promote it. Check them out at contentallies.com.
Welcome, everybody. Thanks for attending or watching this. We are going to be talking about B2B affiliate marketing. Got a great panel for you today. I am Matt Moore. I help run product marketing at impact.com. We're a partnerships platform. And I am joined by Emia Farisat, Zoe McKay, and Ty DeGrange. Real quick, I can let everyone go around the horn. Let's start with Emia. Could you tell us about what you do and how did you get into affiliate marketing and into partnerships?
Yeah, happy to. Hi, everyone. My name is Emia Farisat. I'm so excited to be here today to discuss B2B affiliate marketing. So currently, I'm at Microsoft leading global affiliate program management for all of our Microsoft 365 commercial markets. So everyone's journey into affiliate, it's always a story. So mine is the same. It's a kind of serendipitous one. So my career actually began with a focus on traditional corporate communications. But in 2016, like a small passion project for women's empowerment sparked an entrepreneurial venture. And I started an online blog named Style Salute, this mission-driven kind of platform that was really aimed to just empower women with content that can help them navigate their lives. Caught that wave of women's empowerment during 2016, 2017. So the site went from 500 visitors a month to 100,000 visitors a month in a very short time. Just while I was working in like a corporate communications role, I wanted to capitalize on this success and I learned about affiliate marketing. So I just use my marketing know-how and just direction to incorporate affiliate marketing to generate revenue and then just turn the blog into a successful media company, which now runs on, like it just generates passive income and it runs autonomously. My journey into affiliate has been like filled with a lot of like learning, adaption, like a keen understanding of what an audience needs and just like a continuous pulse on innovation. So for the past 2 years, I've been at Microsoft. Love it. I've also had the privilege to teach as a professor of digital and paid media, which I incorporate affiliate marketing into that. And yeah, I'm happy to be here today.
That's awesome. That's a cool story. Thank you. Ty, what about you? What are you doing and how did you get into this world?
Yeah, absolutely. Ty DeGrange, CEO of Round Barn Labs. I've been in affiliate marketing and performance marketing for about 19 years. Like a few others in the space, I was able to get familiarized with it. I was actually at one of the first ad networks called AdBright, which was explosive growth startup in San Francisco, tons of VC money, a lot of talent, but didn't really pan out to be the next big display network as planned, but learned a ton and it gave me a stepping stone into Commission Junction, which as we all know, a lot of great minds came out of that group to launch Impact and evolve and innovate. So right now, CEO and leading teams, finding great talent, working with great partner marketing practitioners. We'd love diving into the world of B2B marketing. We've been fortunate to have some really interesting experiences working on MetaQuest, working on Atlassian, working on Grammarly, working on Hatch and Tempo, and a number of interesting, exciting brands. I'd say about 25% B2B, and we think there's a very high growth opportunity in this space. So really excited to dive into the conversation with everybody today.
Awesome. Very cool. Zoe, what about you?
Yeah, so I'm Zoe McKay. I'm a strategic partnership manager at Technology Advice. Like everyone else, I just wound up in affiliate. But when I finished grad school, my first job out of grad school was running partnerships for a very small company. And I was very interested in the affiliate world. And so I moved over to Fit Small Business, which was recently acquired by Technology Advice. But I ran the strategic partnerships on Fit Small Business for a few years. And I now manage affiliate for Technology Advice after the acquisition.
Very cool. Excited to have you all here. And Ty, I guess, I don't know if we overlapped with CJ, but that's actually where I started too. I started on the network side and then moved over to a SaaS platform.
It's a unifier for many in the industry. It's awesome. Small world.
Sure. I see a comment. Everyone started a CJ. It's true. I think maybe just to set the stage, I would love to start by having everyone describe what does affiliate marketing look like in your current role? Are you running a program as a publisher? You're probably working with lots of different brands. We just go around the horn. Maybe we'll do a different order this time. Zoe, do you want to start? Let's see, what does it look like as a publisher in the affiliate space?
Yeah, absolutely. So affiliate marketing for me as the publisher is partnering with a lot of different vendors who identify with and want to target the audience that we have across our portfolio of websites. Like you said, we work with a lot of different vendors, different partnership types and models. And so affiliate for technology advice is very broad, but again, 100% B2B in my role.
Got it. Cool. Ty, what about you?
Yeah, so we get to play the matchmaker as the agency. We love working with great advertiser brands and find really high relevant, high quality opportunities on the publisher partner side and the affiliate side. So technology advice being one of those, we're a fortunate and great collaborator there. And so it's really about making sure that match makes sense, making sure there's buy-in and alignment and communication across the entire process. There's pretty clear KPIs and goals set out, and we enable and tee up the partner and the affiliate to do their best work, which is, I believe, they're the currency of this ecosystem. As Kimia mentioned in her entrepreneurial journey, they are the what drives a lot of the value and traffic and quality leads and downstream quality metrics and revenue eventually. So really, that's what we're aiming to do as an organization, really start launching a program, coming in and fixing up a program, and hopefully scaling a program for brands that are ready for that.
And I guess, Kenya, maybe could you tell us, what is running an affiliate marketing program on the brand side look like? I mean, at a high level, imagine I don't really know what this is about.
Yeah, of course, on a high level. So we are the advertiser, we're the brand, we work with publishers, merchants. In essence, it's paying a commission or bounty to the publisher in essence for driving an action, whether that be a sale or a subscription or a service purchase.
Awesome. And are you paying out for leads? Is it mostly for when someone signs up and upgrades to a paid subscription? How does that work?
Yes. So I'm responsible for M365 commercial market. So it's really when someone actually, a business purchases a subscription or multiple subscriptions. So within like one order, there could be anything from one subscription to 500 subscriptions, just depending on the size of the small business. So we pay a bounty on each individual subscription.
Okay. Very cool. I wanted to talk briefly about the difference between affiliate marketing in B2B and B2C, because I think a lot of people associate affiliate marketing with B2C or even retail businesses. But we've seen a huge growth lately in these really strong B2B, especially B2B SaaS brands that are adding an affiliate program or building up an affiliate program. For anyone who has worked on both sides, like B2B and B2C, are there major differences? Is it the two sides are the same or different?
I can jump in there. So I would say the principles are the same in both B2B and B2C. So you're promoting a product or a service to earn a commission, but the nature of the two markets like just necessitates like different approaches. So B2B, it often requires like more strategic, long-term approach. The purchasing cycle is often like a little bit longer from what I've noticed, and there's multiple decision makers. So like in the B2B space, it's often focused more on like high quality, like educational content. Whereas B2C affiliate marketing has shorter sales cycles, is more focused on like around promotions or like discounts and like creating that sense of urgency. Those are like the key differences I've really noticed.
Yeah, super interesting, Kimia. And just to add to that, I think that both B2C and B2B are both really benefiting from this explosion of high quality content. I think a lot of brands are really seeing that opportunity, are moving towards that, are wanting to tap into it by any means necessary. And it seems like that pie continues to grow and that demand continues to grow. I think that I would agree with what Kimia is saying around some of the differences. I think a little bit more different KPIs, a little bit different. How do we look at this downstream? The interesting reality is there's a lot of e-com and consumer that has to do that too. And I also feel like there's some of the elements of consumer are coming into B2B more so as things evolve. I've heard someone, I think it might have been Andrew Chen, share something similarly where like gaming's kind of on the forefront of just our minds and digital consumer kind of takes the next step and then like B2B slowly catches up. I don't know if that's really the case all the time, but I think it's an interesting analogy that might be appropriate here where some of those tactics and things that work eventually make their way into enterprise and B2B.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've seen a lot of growing similarities between consumer purchase cycle buying decisions and the business process of making a purchase. Like it was Jane McBain who put out some research a while ago around how the B2B and B2C buying cycles are coalescing in the same consumer journey. So I think that research side reviews and comparison stuff is very valuable in both sides. I would like to, for anyone who's coming in from maybe like a channel partnerships or strategic partnerships background, I know, Kenya, for instance, in your current role, I'm sure there's lots of different partnerships teams. How does affiliate fit into the partnerships mix in your experience?
Yeah, of course. In our company, we view affiliate partnerships kind of like a key pillar of our overall marketing strategy. So it allows us to extend our reach by leveraging like networks, like all of our affiliates. But I would say like the other types of partnership or strategic partnership functions within my organization or any organization I've been a part of, affiliates been a little bit more siloed. So it complements our other partnerships like strategic alliances or referral partnerships by providing like that performance-based scalable avenue for growth. But we don't really work hand in hand with the same partnership. So we might have the same partner. And oftentimes my current role, in prior roles, it's the partner that actually alerts us of like the alliance that they already have, such at like large matrix organizations. But affiliates usually rather siloed while it is integrated into like the overall marketing approach.
Ty, how about you? Are you typically working mainly with affiliate teams or do you ever interface with any of the other partnerships teams within these orgs?
Yeah, one of the observations I've made, and I think others have made in this space, is that it sometimes affiliate operates like partnerships light. Having been in-house at a number of tech companies, you see you get exposed to a lot of those partnerships teams, and they're working in really long-term cycles. And sometimes it might take them 2 years just to do a technology integration in the partnerships definition that maybe you're speaking of. But I think there is, to Kimia's point, a really good way to complement. We work with a diverse mix from head of marketing to CMO to affiliate marketing manager, probably a mix of head of marketing and affiliate marketing manager most frequently. Sometimes a channel manager might oversee affiliate as a shared responsibility, sometimes dedicated. But I think not unlike influencer, not unlike PR, I think there's an opportunity to plug in and complement and amplify so we're all singing the same song. So it's a mix in terms of who we're dealing with, but it's usually a nice complement to it in my mind. And I think the cool thing is affiliate can grow into elements of like longer term, more what an in-house large enterprise org might consider partnerships. I think there's elements of it that can be supportive of each other.
I think that makes a ton of sense. So what about on your side of the coin as a publisher? How does affiliate fit into the revenue mix?
Yeah, obviously it depends on the kind of publisher, the kind of company. There's obviously many levers. I feel affiliate is, speaking of long-term partnerships, affiliate on my side is something that we really try to dedicate the time and energy towards because we do consider them long-term partnerships, the most successful affiliate relationships that we've ever had across the websites that I've worked on have always been the long-term consistent partnerships where you can scale slowly but consistently and you can grow them to be something that's incredibly profitable for both parties. There's definitely a lot of levers. I think affiliate, just we spend a lot of time dedicated specific affiliate teams that just work on those partnerships.
Yeah, I think that the evergreen partnership is one of the strengths of affiliates, and probably especially for technology advice, because you, I imagine, it takes time to build up SEO on some of these articles. And so the longer you're working with the brand, the better that partnership is going to perform. What kind of brands do you work with? Could you give us just like a sampling of the verticals?
Yes. High level, yes. Technology advice, obviously, we have a very large portfolio of websites. And so there's just a ton of different industries and categories that fall into that. I think from HR to CRMs to there's just sales management tools, a lot of software focus, which is what we're focused on, just getting businesses to read our educational content dedicated to, you know, who's the best in the industry and positioning our partners and using our editorial strengths to do so. It's very large. So pretty much anything that a small to medium sized business, up to enterprise sized business, any kind of software that they would need, we have content dedicated to that. But yes, without going into too much detail, it really is quite a lot of industries.
Got it. What about I and maybe Kimia can start? What sort of publishers are you working with? I know we've got reviews and content and stuff like Zoe's talking about. What are the other sort of types of partners that you would work with?
Yes, we collaborate with a variety of different publishers. Primarily, the strongest for us have been content and review sites, but we also work with like content, with loyalty, with coupon partners. We have yet to explore influencer partnerships, and that's really just due to privacy and like control considerations. We work with a variety of them. Yeah, the whole gamut of kind of publisher types, I would say.
What would a coupon or like a deal look like in your space?
A deal would look like 10% off of, and this doesn't happen often at all, but like M365 commercial for a short period of time. Let's say it's Small Business Saturday. If you grab that coupon, you would get 10% off for the term of the year, the first year of the subscription.
Got it. Ty, any other like publisher types to add?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, that we've seen just an explosion of opportunity with like how-tos, tutorials, the kind of the rankings and review sites. I think those have become just so important for everyone in the SaaS B2B ecosystem and the B2B ecosystem. And I think a big one that maybe surprises people, to touch on Kimia's point, is influencer or brand ambassador. And people are often talked about in many ways, but some of the B2B brands that are taking advantage of affiliate are doing it in a big way. They're creating entire tiers and giving them free gear and making them feel special. And I think to me, that's where a lot of this is going, and where brands are really taking advantage of this channel. I think the YouTube is such a ripe opportunity to tap into people who want to be educated about how to use a product or a service. And so I think that getting that education, you can get educated on so many things there. It's just, it's a reflection of all of what's happening right now. And I think it's nice to have such diversity now in B2B, whereas I think in before, in affiliate marketing, it just wasn't there. So that's what we've seen.
Yeah, no, that's great. I saw a question come in around metrics, and I think we'll leave time for questions at the end, but I do actually want to get into what does success look like? What kind of KPIs do you all aim for? Ty, you want to kick us off?
Yeah. I think one thing to remember that's really amazing is that this is just, I think, such a fast-growing opportunity that I don't think people really fully realize at a macro level. Secondly, we've seen in the data, and teams look at what's going on with their internal performance of other channels in comparison to affiliate. The affiliate can be, if not the best performing, most efficient, it can be in the top ranking and close to the top. It's a very efficient channel. So I think that's a really exciting opportunity to remind people of in the audience, or remind people who are considering this or considering these types of things. Another thing that we've noticed is, like, from a metrics perspective, it bears out. We will typically look at leads. Well, some brands might have an MQL or an SQL tied lead metric. And then it really important, and we talked about this a little bit together, was just that really there's a quality metric and a retention metric associated with that. And so that way, the brand feels really confident in the KPI and the metrics that are being measured. So those are some thoughts I have on that part of it.
Yeah. Kimia, what about you?
Yeah. So in B2B, especially in the realm of software like M365, KPIs can vary based on the overall strategy. So there's lifetime value to like cost of acquisition. It's a metric that really provides great insights, especially considering the long-term partnerships that are established in B2B. But it's not typically like an affiliate KPI, as most of us on this call know. So really the key measures of success for an affiliate program, B2B, is for us at least, is return on ad spend, conversion rate, and the number of units sold. Like ROAS, or return on ad spend, gives us like a clear idea of our spend. To Ty's point, affiliate is like a very efficient channel. And of course, the conversation around incrementality does come in, but with B2B, it's so much higher at the top of funnel. So And the aim, like in monitoring these KPIs for B2B, it's to use them as a basis for kind of continual testing, learning, just really overall optimization of an affiliate program.
Awesome. Zoe, what about for you? I imagine you're trying to maximize revenue coming in from these partnerships, but what are the other metrics that you would look at to know whether a given brand partnership is performing well or your program health is strong?
I think that obviously from the publisher perspective, we really care and interact with the partners on what their KPIs are. And so that's something that, you know, is part of that partnership that we're constantly checking in on, that affiliate platforms make a lot easier because everyone has available data on those metrics through a platform like Impact. I think unique to the publisher side is that we look at metrics also just in for ourselves in terms of interaction with that partner, right? How is the partner being interacted with on specific articles? And that really helps identify, right, like that big question that we talked about before, which is, do we have the same target audience? And are we being helpful to the brand by putting this brand out in front of our audience? And I think those kind of click-through rates from article to that vendor is a really good indicator of that. It also really helps us to identify conversion rate optimization plans based on the data that we're getting. And again, a lot of that we can get from affiliate platforms in a DIY way instead of having to request that from a vendor.
I appreciate the call out about having good technology in place. But do you work with brands that are not using an affiliate platform or a network? Do you have any direct relationships?
Yeah, of course. Not everyone's on an affiliate platform. But yeah, I think there's a lot of different types, whether it's direct, directly reported, or on any number of the platforms that we have. Yeah, we definitely do. I would say in recent years, we've seen a lot more partners move over to affiliate platforms, though.
How does that work? Does it affect the number of brands that you can work with? If they're not, I imagine there's more work involved if you have to track these things manually and pay them. Do you like try to convince them to find some technology, or how does that kind of play out?
Yeah. So I think that a lot of people understand the value, especially recently, of what a reporting platform would give to their organization and just how much easier it would make the affiliate process. So I think that there's definitely quite a few conversations that I've had over the years with direct partnerships around moving towards an affiliate platform. I've gotten questions on which I'd recommend, what kind of value they drive for a publisher like myself. And I think that for technology advice and for my team, really the best part is the shared resources, but then also just complete visibility into performance, which is not something you can have without a lot of manual work on a direct partnership. So being able to go in and check performance, not only for that specific partner, but compared to all of the partnerships that you have is really valuable, because then you can look at those baseline metrics and see, is this an outperformer? Is this an underperformer? And then why? And use that information to work with the partner to try to optimize the partnership.
I really like that idea of being able to collaborate because you have a shared source of truth.
Maybe adding on, Zoe made a great point there. I think there's such a magic in kind of having those kind of one-on-one partner, advertiser, affiliate brand conversations to really unlock what's happening. How do we optimize this page? How do we get more out of it? Maybe some things that aren't working in the partnership and ways to optimize for it there. I think that's just an awesome call out.
Absolutely. Actually, I would love to know, what are some of the other ways, Zoe, or I'll open up to the group, that a brand and a publisher can collaborate and actually be partners rather than just passing leads or passing consumers over? What are some of the ways that maybe you, Zoe, have worked with brands to improve performance?
Yeah, so many ways. I think, actually funny, in the chat, Elizabeth, one of the writers at Technology Advice that I've worked with for many years, but one of the things she said was that the data that is provided by these platforms and then funneled through to our editorial teams is really helpful for them to actually improve that content and writing, because we're actually seeing what's working. And so I think we worked with a lot of different partners in a lot of different ways. But in terms of optimizations, I think probably one of the more common ways is through landing page testing. A lot of the times we're able to act as that outsourced marketing tester for companies because we have the content, we have the audience, and so we can see which landing pages, what CTA, what language is really resonating with that audience that they already know they want to interact with. And so I think that's a very common one that we work on, is really being helpful, understanding which landing pages and what language is resonating.
Yeah, that's super valuable. I like the idea of an outsourced A/B testing, right? Like, you can run the experiments and then sort of pass back the learnings to the brands, and then they can adopt that. And then everybody's conversion rate goes up across the board, and that's just going to help both of you. What about Kimia or Ty? Are there any ways that you've been able to work with your partners to drive improvements over the course of the partnership?
Yeah, just building on what Zoe said, just sharing some thoughts. I don't think enough folks understand how much affiliates, particular certain types, can really be like your own partner outsourced innovation lab in some ways. And I think it's an opportunity to really tap into and think of them that way. They're usually on the cutting edge of trends. They have to. They have some skin in the game. They have to think about, how do we make this as efficient as possible? As opposed to those that are more, hey, we're getting a large payment up front. So I think that's a really big one. And I couldn't be more excited about the idea of testing. It's baked into one of how we operate as an organization across the board, but in particular about how we think about putting together a great content site collaboration or a partnership. And so I think that the combination of thinking through the lens of testing, knowing it's not forever, but really being measured and reporting that out and looking for ways to use those learnings back into the campaigns is pretty big, whether that's looking at from a content value perspective, from a time on site perspective, to a conversion rate perspective, to obviously somewhere it gets really important and impressive is in the quality and cost per lead, and then downstream where the revenue really matters most in terms of, are they really engaged with this, or is it just a one and done, which we want to avoid? Those are my thoughts on it. And yeah, I think we enjoy that challenging, creative, analytical process of fixing and improving with partners.
Definitely a good combination of creativity and quantitative analysis trying to improve these things. Kimia, any thoughts on working with partners and the ways that you've collaborated?
Like, to Ty's point, like, I completely agree that a certain amount of transparency and passing back data that we have can only improve the partnership, because you can take that data and then back into it and improve your campaigns. But of course, there's always like that commitment to like privacy and compliance and security. So that's always something to keep in mind. But the level of, but that's where like affiliate networks like Impact and Rakuten, they provide those secure gateways and establish really like the clear protocols for safeguarding data and really just to maintain the integrity of all transactions. I'd say like those networks are really great. And then any like specific metrics that are being tracked in-house are have really helped improve campaigns. And I think test all the time and then just use the testing to just really improve and optimize your campaigns.
Always be testing.
It never ends.
Yep. Cool. I wanted to move a little bit into thinking through. We talked a little bit about like the publisher mix and the programs you guys are running. I wanted to think through on the B2C side, you typically think of the path to purchase, and you're typically going to want some publishers that can hit the various stages. Maybe you have influencers and creators who are going to drive awareness. And then maybe, yeah, you have some content to kind of help people decide. And then maybe you have a coupon or a loyalty site that's going to convince them to just get over that hump and finally commit to purchasing. How do you all think through the funnel on the B2B side? And do you have publishers at different stages that you're trying to target? I guess, Kimia, do you want to kick that one off?
Yeah, I'm happy to jump in there. So absolutely, we see value in both upper funnel and lower funnel partners. Like the upper funnel, they help us raise brand awareness and provide that educational content that's so necessary in the B2B space. And then while the lower funnel partners help drive that conversion, because of course there's that longer term decision-making process. And really to ensure fair compensation of all the categories, we have like a mixed compensation model is always like a really great way to look at it. So affiliate, usually it's last click. Alongside that, a bounty or a revenue share model, you can bake in flat fees for content creation to really like help show that we value their contribution in the customer journey. It's like really a mixed compensation model.
Yeah, I've seen that work really well. Actually, I want to hear from Zoe too and talk about how the publisher side compensation works. Yeah, I guess Zoe, do you want to take that one too?
Yeah, I think my answer is more a response to what Kimia said. I think when it comes to publishers, I feel like a lot of the times we're kind of seen as just bottom of the funnel. And I think that one of the biggest values that a publisher like Technology Advice can provide is that full funnel approach. What our, and Kimia, you've already said this, I'm just repeating, but what we really strive to do is meet our readership where they are in that funnel. And so whether that is just figuring out what a specific type of software even means, what is it? How do I use it? Is this something that's even necessary for a company like mine or for me to use individually? To give them that answer, but then really help them through educational content backed with authority and trust from our experts who are writing that content and really helping them, leading them down that funnel in a way that's helpful to them and bringing them down what we really would recommend as our best answer. And so I think that a lot of the times the conversations that, you know, I start with these partnerships is just, we want to be only down funnel. And the best kinds of partnerships are the ones where they really understand that full funnel approach and they really understand the value that we're able to drive meeting that reader wherever they are. If they're not ready to make a purchase decision, that's still so valuable to get your name and your brand in front of. And when it comes to the compensation models, obviously on my side, it varies quite a bit. So I don't have a specific answer for that. But I did just want to note that I think that is probably the largest value that a publisher like myself can drive for a company.
Yeah. Ty, what do you think? What about on the full funnel picture?
I think Zoe and Kimia nailed it. I think it is such an opportunity to tap a full funnel approach in affiliate marketing. We certainly do. Brands that are doing it are going to win. I love the concept of kind of thinking thoughtfully about the attribution model and the upfront payment that Kimia mentioned. I think that's really critical. We do that as well, to think about being able to touch an entire journey is really the goal in a lot of marketing and most marketing and performance and affiliate in particular. And to be able to look at gated shopping, video content, there's some really innovative things happening in email. And then the content is the just explosion that everyone's wanting and needing and asking for. That's a really interesting opportunity. And I think Amy and Zoe nailed those responses from my view. And we look at it similarly.
Definitely. But just to draw it out a bit more, typically affiliate is going to be paid on the last click. And in the past, that's made it tougher for some folks who focus on the top of the funnel because they put a lot of time and effort into this great content. And then maybe someone else swoops in at the last minute and gets that click and gets credit for the sale. So Zoe, you mentioned mixed compensation models, flat fee. How do you navigate that as a publisher?
Yes, it's definitely something that comes up frequently. I think that it really varies with the different partnership models that we have. I think going back to what Kimia was saying about investing in the publisher and who's driving that brand awareness and who's driving the interest in that product through other forms of partnership is something that happens pretty frequently, right? We'll work with affiliate partners on a lot of different partnership models that I think aren't very typical of the normal affiliate kind of world because that value is evident. And we've done that quite a lot. But otherwise, I don't want to go into too specifically about pricing models with partnerships, but I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, definitely. Kimia, how do you think about compensation, like being aware that people are going to get credit differently depending on how the consumer is interacting with their media properties?
You know, we try and do it, and I think it's best to do it in a fair way. You know, after all, affiliate is all about partnerships and building a long-term relationship. So clearly, a lot of the time people check out with like coupon or loyalty partners. And so it's so important to reward the top of funnel content partners that are more educational focused, which are really the ones that kind of bring in that lead in the first place. So that's really where like the flat fees and mixed compensation model comes in. So ideally, like a multi-touch attribution model or like an MTA would be the best way to go about it. But you know, in the meantime, that takes a long time to set up. And there's a lot of strategic planning that goes into place and kind of working on like an ad hoc basis with each individual partner and providing them like a flat fee commission that is right for that particular partner has really worked very well for us.
Yep, that makes a lot of sense. And that lines up with what I hear a lot of. I know we just put out some research about creators. I know your team's not fully moving into that space yet, but there's a big push into the flat fee with a CPA on the back end, which I think is a really good way to help make sure that you are paying someone for the work that they're doing to produce. It's an Instagram post, a LinkedIn post, a full article. There's costs that go into that, but then you're incentivizing continued promotion of it and providing a value on the back end.
With flat fees, since you are working on like a specific campaign, there is a certain amount of control of content where a brand can actually communicate what they want the content to say or provide.
Just to interject a thought on that, I think flat fees sometimes get a little bit of a pause from a lot of brands and folks. And I think it's impressive to see how often in the affiliate space for B2B, you can actually get a really good return and really a good efficiency out of those in combination of your other affiliate efforts. So just to dovetail off of what Kimio is saying on flat fees, I think it's sometimes you'll be surprised of how well they perform if it's set up properly and you have the right partner.
I often see folks using participation bonuses too. So if you have a tool that lets you see the full conversion path, you can dynamically drop the commission for whoever won and send in a bonus for someone who contributed to that touch point but didn't win. So that can be a good way to do it too. As a last question, if someone were thinking about starting up an affiliate marketing program in a B2B context, what advice would you give them? Maybe let's just start. Kimia, do you want to give us some thoughts, advice?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So I would say, firstly, it's important to understand that building like a successful B2B affiliate program, it takes time. So have patience. Start by defining your objectives clearly, and then just go down and identify potential affiliates who kind of share your target audience and can resonate with the products or services that your brand carries. One piece of advice I would offer is to really invest in building strong relationships with them from the beginning, and to keep in mind that like a mixed compensation model, like we were just discussing, acknowledges both conversions and contribution to that overall buyer's journey. Like having a mixed compensation model can be just so beneficial. And then just finally, like having like a robust system to really measure your KPIs and continually optimize your program based on really data-driven insights.
That's awesome. Ty, any thoughts, advice for someone new to this world?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it can be a really powerful unlock, and we've seen it generate 10, 20, 30% of revenue for the right types of brands. I think that Kimia's point about time and patience is really critical. I often counsel folks that if you're standing up a social paid search, you know, you may have 3 months plus of really build and optimization, getting the algorithms. I like to double that with affiliate. And so bare minimum, think about a good 6 month test and learn period, and perhaps even longer for certain brands. Sometimes it takes much longer than that. So without exactly quantifying, it's going to be different for every brand. I think Kimia's point of really time and patience being important to allow it to bake. I think that for brands that are maybe on the earlier side, I would have caution and make sure that you have enough volume. You have some performance marketing expertise stood up. You have conversion rate. You have healthy retention. There's support within the organization in terms of sales and executive, obviously. Perhaps even some level in engineering. Those things are important to see. And that way it kind of gives you a little bit of confidence that, hey, this can work. But once you're there, it really can be a highly profitable, highly efficient channel.
Yeah. Zoe, what about maybe specifically around how a brand should think about finding or starting up relationships, reaching out to folks like Technology Advice, asking to be featured? What are some ways that they can improve their odds of actually getting included in some of these articles and getting visibility and stuff?
Yeah, I think that when you're reaching out to a publisher who's focused on best answer, why are you the best answer? What sets you apart from the competition? What are common issues with other products that you would identify as a competitor that you think that you fill that gap? And how can you drive value for the target audience of the publication? I think that's really what's typically missing in the outreach, right? Trying to figure out what that answer is. I think because affiliate is so collaborative with publishers, that's the information that we need to decide if it's something that's worth investing in. And, you know, I think that you said it in an article you wrote for Impact, but you said something like 90% of sales are generated by like 10% of affiliates, and really finding that right partner who has the right target audience for you and who is willing to invest the time and energy into a long-term partnership.
That's great advice. And actually, that got me thinking now, the last question. If you wanted to hire someone to start an affiliate program, like what are some of the things that you would look for in that role? Like, are there specific skills or backgrounds or traits that you think generally help someone do well in the world of affiliate?
I was just going to say that someone that enjoys relationships and building relationships, and then also definitely someone that is data driven, has some background in like just data science and being able to dissect that data to drive insights. So really just like a combination of those two and a positive person, of course.
We nailed it. I would only add maybe, I think there's a little bit of an art and science to some of the email outreach and being able to thoughtfully tell a story to a partner like Technology Advice. You're doing a little bit of persuasion, but I think it's a little bit of packaging up the best of and saying, hey, here's why you need to promote this. Here's why you should consider promoting us over something else. So just adding to Kimia's point, I think being able to know you're competing in a crowded marketplace and being willing to be competitive and rise above that noise with the other elements that she mentioned, I think would be helpful.
I would echo that. I think I've seen a lot of people come from like a business development background and do really well because there is that human element of you're kind of, in the past I've called it, even for a B2C company, I've called affiliate marketing, like you're a B2B2C marketer, right? Because you're pitching your business to another business who's going to now pitch your products and services to consumers. Having that ability to get in and show the value and manage relationships is huge.
And I just add on that is like B2B is very different. And so someone who really like lives and breathes the metrics, to Kimia's point, is a really important one too.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people come from like IB investment banking backgrounds just because really the key pillars are the same, paying a certain amount to get a certain amount back.
That makes a ton of sense. I would not have guessed that. I can see that. Cool. I think we have a few minutes for any questions. I saw one come in. First question is, what metrics would you suggest affiliate marketers look at as early indicators of success in B2B programs? And you mentioned that they often require more strategic thinking and longer term goals may not have immediate impacts to the B2C program. So how do you know you're on the right path?
Yeah, a lot of times it's going to mirror what North Star metric the brand is looking to achieve over time and what planning, what goals, what they're getting and maybe not getting in some of the other levers of growth or demand gen or performance marketing. So we typically try to have a lot of good discussion with those clients and with the advertiser on the B2B side to say, what is achievable? What can we forecast do over the course of the next 12 months? What's our plan for this month? What's our plan for this quarter? So a lot of times looking at some might be some of that just straight email capture. Some might even be going for calls or paper call, which we never really touched on. A lot are going to be lead focused and then tying particular quality metrics or definitions to those leads. So is it MQL, marketing qualified lead? Is it SQL, sales qualified lead? Is it getting tying revenue to those directly? Some Kimi and others have the ability to add some revenue to the metrics, not just lead focused. And some of those things, as we said, might take 3, 6 months, 12 months to realize or have the full story. But oftentimes you want to look at it via cohort, not too dissimilar to how you would for come a consumer. You might see 1,000 users come through a partner ID 123, but if you're not looking back over time to see the health of them, that could be a problem. And I think that's a thing to keep an eye on when it comes to metrics and affiliate in a lot of channels.
Great answer. We have another question here. What is a good platform to recruit B2B SaaS affiliates? I can say I'm probably contractually obligated to say that impact.com has been building out our marketplace and a lot of tools to filter and find the right folks.
Did someone at Impact ask that one?
So we got a mole in the audience. Yeah, other platforms are going to have their own ways to handle that. Any thoughts from the group on?
I'll plug Impact a little bit. I think you guys have done a good job of continually investing in that partner discovery tool, and it's gotten better and better. And I think that is a real need and people are looking for it. I think a lot of times you're looking at other platforms like Impact as an opportunity, but Some people have done a lot with the search tools. You reverse engineer using what's available via keyword or brand discovery with some of those, but ultimately you do need to identify those partners. That'd be my 2 cents on it.
Thanks. Yeah. Question, where can we access the partner discovery tool? Talk to my sales team. We can probably, I'm sure we have a video or something that I could share with you after. Well, I think last question that we have time for here is, you mentioned that flat fee sponsored content can perform surprisingly well as long as they are set up right. What are the key factors you'd say need to be set up right for these flat fee sponsored content campaigns?
Yeah, I think in collaborating with a great partner like a Zoe on the affiliate side, you would want to make sure that, I'd say that if you are doing upfront fees, I think the higher the fee, the more upfront, the more collaboration and maybe a degree of control you have in terms of determining what's being said and ensuring that you have maybe certain touch points discussed. Obviously, as you get to more of the just straight cost per action, you're going to have to say, hey, let go a little bit and let the partner really run with their message and their voice. So I think having expectation alignment, having tracking properly set up within a platform like Impact, making sure you're aligned on the KPIs you're going to get from that, and having a hypothesis like any test to see, and maybe sometimes view it as a test depending upon the partnership or the history there. So I'd say that those are really important pieces to looking at that and having a plan of, if it doesn't go as planned, what is your approach? If you do get this result to maybe meet or exceed, what is your approach? Having a lot of that documented upfront and agreed upon upfront is really important. And then I think just being clear on, hey, this is our definition of measurement. This is our source of truth. We touched on it earlier, but a lot of times there's a lot of collaboration and coordination with the advertiser. As everyone here knows, you're going to have to look at impact data. You're going to have to validate that with the advertiser's data and have some agreed upon discussion up front beforehand. So that's better to do it up front. And then when the chips fall, you can discuss and see where it all worked and what did.
Yeah. Great thoughts. Cool. We are at time. Thank you, everyone. Zoe, Kimia, Ty, appreciate you joining, sharing some wisdom here. And thanks for everyone who joined. Have a great rest of your day. Thanks, everyone.
Everyone, thank you.
If you like this and want more great insights on software partnerships, you've got to rate, like, and subscribe. And join us at thecloudsoftwareassociation.com. Thank you, as always, to our podcast producers, Content Allies. They help B2B companies like you launch revenue-generating podcasts. They'll schedule interviews, produce the podcast, and promote it. Check them out at contentallies.com. We'll see you on the next episode.